As you've all been hearing in the news this morning, some very sad news out of Italy, out of Milan. There are a few names that are as evocative, I guess you could say, as or as beloved really in the world of fashion as that of Giorgio Armani. Now, Armani, both the name and the man, became synonymous with effortless, uncluttered style and was worn quite widely on the red carpet. If you just googled Julia Roberts Armani, she had a really iconic Armani moment in the early 1990s at the Golden Globes. She wore this amazing Armani suit to the Golden Globes, which was, I think, pretty revolutionary at the time. You know, most people wore sort of evening gowns and that sort of thing, but she showed up in a suit and tie by Armani. I often think of Richard Gere in American Gigolo. That's a very iconic film. And I think also not just Richard Gere, but I think of Lauren Hutton, who was also in that film and wore was fantastically styled for the film. And one of my favourite looks of all time has to be Grace Jones's cover of her LP Nightclubbing, her 1981 album Nightclubbing. We were playing a bit of Grace Jones earlier, so very timely, and also very timely to be joined by the wonderful Glynis Trails Nash, who's a fashion writer and commentator. She's the former fashion editor of The Australian, and she joins us now. Glynis, thanks so much for joining us on Breakfast.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. How are you?
I'm very well. We've got you over now. I mean, you're usually in Australia, but you're on holidays in Scotland. So an extra big thank you for speaking to us at this very timely occasion. What are your immediate reactions to the passing of Giorgio Armani?
I mean, obviously, it's incredibly sad. But also, I have to say, we were kind of expecting it. I mean, I was literally driving around the island of Skye today in Scotland and trying to find reception for something. And you know, I was Googling a direction and then suddenly you see the name Armani pop up in Google things and you just go, oh, don't tell. Oh, it's true. You know, we've kind of been expecting this for a while and he's missed, you know, the last shows, you know, taking a bow at the recent shows in June, July. So that was a bit of a telling sign.
Because he was quite, I mean, he was 91.
Yeah, it was an amazing innings. And he, my understanding is that he was always incredibly involved down to the finest detail, you know, of his shows, of his campaigns, of everything he touched. And there was always, there's been discussions for the last decade at least of the succession plan for Armani and, you know, there was never anyone appointed, but, you know, I understand it's going to be an organic thing with people already in the business, which seems very appropriate also. Mm.
So he really was, I mean, that's not just sort of PR. He really was quite involved still, you know, right up until quite recently with, you know, the design and the overall overseeing of Giorgio Armani.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just, you know, there are a number of things that he is incredibly well known for, but I think to me, the things that he's best known for now, I mean, obviously this idea of this soft power dressing that he kind of came out with in the mid-70s, and as you said before, you know, Richard Gere in American Gigolo, that also kick-started, that was very representative of that idea of soft dressing, power dressing, soft tailoring. But that also started that connection with Hollywood, and I think that's been one of the real driving forces in that business.
Because he was the first designer to really do that.
Beautiful fashion. Yeah, he really created that strong link between the red carpet, Hollywood, and fashion. Because you remember, you just put your mind back, like, to the 80s, the early 80s. People were not styled for the Oscars. They were not styled for the Golden Globes. In a way, they were kind of more fabulous, you know, because it was kind of great fun to watch what everyone would just turn up in, you know. But he was the one that really put this idea of bringing the fashion industry into Hollywood onto the red carpet and building that as kind of another business, effectively, but just this very strong connection, which, I mean, obviously rules the red carpet today.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you say that sort of relaxed, soft tailoring, I mean, you know, when I think of Armani, I think of, you know, there's still that great structure of you know, shoulder pads, but these beautiful sort of softer fabrics that were just very, the way they sat, it was very chic. It was, it looked very comfortable and almost, but still powerful in a way. There was power in that comfort.
Absolutely. I mean, he could cut a blazer like no one. And I've only worn one Armani blazer, and two actually in my time. They are sublime. They are sublime. You know, just the soft structure of it. And they're so supremely flattering. Yeah. I mean, you know, that is, I think, one of his great strengths in the fashion side of things, because his pieces were just incredibly flattering. And that, although it should be a no-brainer for a designer, it's not always the case, you know, but he understood how to dress people to make them their best self, and not look too rigid, to look relaxed.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's what really comes to mind when I think of Giorgio Armani. And he really, I mean, we saw such a revolutionizing of suiting, especially for women, I think, with, you know, with I think of Julia Roberts and Michelle Pfeiffer. And,
oh, my God. Yeah. But that Julia Roberts suit that you mentioned earlier, the grey suit that she wore to the Golden Globes, that is iconic. Mm. You still get people referencing it today. I mean, we've had a whole spate of it in the last year or so with the whole resurgence of women. You know, as men lose ties in suiting, women have kind of taken on ties, and there've been all these kind of sly references to that Julia Roberts moment on the red carpet of women in relaxed suits with ties. I mean, it's enduring, I think, and that is great fashion, obviously. But I think one of the other things, and also on the celebrity thing, I mean, Jodie Foster is another one. Diane Keaton was the first one to wear him on the red carpet when she won the Oscar for Annie Hall.
Yeah.
And she loves a suit. And again, a relaxed suit, you know. So she wore one of his blazers with a skirt and a very cool ensemble for 1978, you know. But, I mean, like, it's a who's who of celebrities that have worn him. Obviously, Cate Blanchett's got a very long relationship with him, always looks incredible in Armani, you know, Anne Hathaway. But then George Clooney, Brad Pitt. I mean, it's men's and women's, which is quite rare, because he started in men's. And then the year after, in like 1976, I think it was, he moved into women's wear. Mm. And so he was one of those rare designers that really catered to both very strongly, and that's unusual. But I do think one of the other things that's interesting about him is from a business perspective, because he was still sole owner of that company. Mm. And he's had a net worth of apparently $7.5 billion.
Right.
So,
do the math on that into AUD, yeah.
Yeah, the empire was extraordinary, because it wasn't just fashion, it was accessories, it was beauty, it was hotels, it was restaurants, it was lifestyle, it was all of that. And he put a fashion lens onto all of those things in that pared back, refined, elegant way. I mean, he was a real empire builder without being loud about it.
Well, that was, I mean, and that's the Armani way. It never was loud,
exactly.
Was it? Yeah. It was subtle, exactly. Well, lastly, you've already named a few there, so I'm kind of getting a feeling, but what are some of your favourite, more underrated, do you think, Armani looks that come to mind?
I mean, I always think of that Jodie Foster suit, the embellished suit she wore. God, I can't remember the year off the top of my head. But do you know, then like Lady Gaga as well? I mean, this is how broad his range was. I mean, she wore that extraordinary kind of purple kind of hooped thing that on the red carpet. That was amazing. And even at the Globes this year, I mean, I wouldn't say this is one of his most iconic Pete looks, but Demi Moore was wearing him this year. I mean, like, he had real breadth in terms of appeal to age, gender, style, even. It could be really outrageous. And I mean, I've been to a bunch of Armani Privé shows over the years in Paris, and it was always fascinating. You know, there would always be amazing celebrities with They were like really good celeb spotting shows. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Amazing, amazing. Glynis Trowell-Nash, thank you so much for joining us this morning to talk about the legacy of Giorgio Armani. And it's given me another excuse to play a bit of Grace Jones this morning because I just can't get that amazing album. You know the album cover I'm talking about
from
Nightclubbing.
Yeah, so good.
Guys,
so good.
Check it out. Check it out because that blazer is something else. You'll know what Glynis and I are talking about when we talk about the amazing cut of a blazer when you look at the cover of Nightclubbing.
That's a shoulder.
Absolutely. Thank you, Glynis Trowell-Nash. We're going to head to Pull Up to the Bumper now from Grace Jones's Nightclubbing album, 1981.